Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, kind of following up on an earlier interview I did with Chris Temple, just discussing the general boring nature of markets. That's correlating over to a general boring nature in the precious metals. It seems like everyone is just waiting for, I don't know, whether it's some news or some big shock to the system to determine the next major move for markets. Maybe it's also just the fact that we're starting to get into summer and people have been locked up, that they're trying to get away from their computers and their trading. I don't know what the answer is, but address the general boring nature of these markets and what you think could drive or spark some more interest.
I hear you, man. If I could get away, I would. I think you hit it on the head. A lot of people just wanted to, you know, shut this stuff off for a while. The news is coming at you so fast and furious these days, not just regards to precious metals, just in general. You know, it almost seems, Corey, that if you don't step back from your computer at the end of every day and try to put everything in a kind of context, it all gets lost. You know, you think of where we were even just 6 months ago versus where we are now. And there's kind of like a frog in a pot syndrome, you know, where things have changed so quickly and it happens every day that you don't even notice how much things have changed. You know, you mentioned everybody waiting on news. I mean, here the Fed last week, or just really within the past week, you go back to last Wednesday with the FOMC, and they announced the New York Fed announces they're going to permanently be doing $80 billion a month of treasury purchases, $40 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities. And then Monday of this week, you get the news that now they're going to start buying junk-rated corporate bonds. If those bonds weren't actually considered junk before March the 22nd, they're going to be doing $700 billion of that. Well, that's another $60 billion a month. And you put it all together and it's, you know, $2.2 trillion. You know, and if that just was hit you square in the face, like even back in January, oh my God, we'd all be going crazy. But this has all been such this, again, gradual warming of the water, where after a while, like, $2.2 trillion. You know, it's remarkable. So I don't know. You know, I'm looking at gold in a trading range. You know, everybody wants to get excited, and I keep hearing bearish, you know, this and bearish that. But really, I mean, we're right smack dab in the middle of the range between 1680 and 1780 when we're at 1730. You know, so what's there to be excited about? Long or short, right? We're just kind of going sideways. And then you look at the shares, and I think the shares are really suffering from a kind of a drought of momentum or excitement. You know, the mining sector is really about the only market sector that you can count on at this point for increasing earnings and even increasing dividends. But yet it has been 6 weeks since we've had an earnings report. It will be another 6 or 7 weeks before we get another earnings report. And it's like anybody that's trading these things or providing any kind of upside momentum is just looking elsewhere. And so they're left to just kind of drift lower. You know, I'll just get out. I'll get back in next month sometime. And you get this just gradual just drift lower, and you can see it in the charts. So I don't know if we want to call it dog days or doldrums just yet, because it's not even officially yet summer. But man, it sure feels like it.
Yeah, it really does feel like summer right now. And that's even on the back of all these companies ramping up some drill programs that I think could draw in some more money and some more excitement. That being said, though, it's not like we've seen a waterfall decline in something like the gold price, even in something like a GDX. One thing I've noticed, especially when it's come to gold in these last maybe week or two, is that whenever it looks like gold's trying to drop intraday, and today is another good example of that, it tends to get bought back throughout the day. Like gold opened today right around, let's say, 30, just above 1730, dropped down about $5, $6, and has been bought right back to about that 1730 level. I know it's not exciting, but I still think it's somewhat encouraging that selling isn't leading to more selling.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the GDX. in its downtrend that goes, you know, that has been kind of captured in here for the last month or I guess six, even 7 weeks, 32 had been really stout resistance for 6 or 7 years, right? We gapped down from 32.25 on April the 15th of 2013 and then never closed above that level again for 7 years. All right. So anyway, in the last 7 weeks, there have been 3 days where the GDX has opened below 32. And all three of those days, it has just come screaming back higher intraday. So that doesn't mean the next time it won't just roll over. But you're right. I mean, that's another indication that dips are being bought. And I think if I want to read anything into that, it's a recognition of the long term, the big picture, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, this kind of this institutionalization of negative real interest rates, you know, the nonstop fire hose of cash that the central banks are going to have to blast at everything to try to service all the existing debt and to keep all the plates spinning. And so I think if anything, there's, you know, maybe that's the one takeaway from this is that, yeah, like you said, these dips are being bought. And maybe that's because there's an understanding that, you know, there's an ebb and a flow and there's, you know, you always got to work off some overbought excitement. But in doing so, all maybe you're really doing is setting up for the next big run. And, you know, I was looking at earlier this week, paging through again the Ingold Retrust report, the latest one from Incrementum. You know, they put out that thing every May. And there's some interesting charts in there about the length and breadth of bull markets. And that, at the, you know, since 1971, when Nixon closed the gold window, there have been 5 bull markets and 5 bear markets. And we're currently what is perceived to be the 6th one on the bull side. And the bull side, I mean, even the minimum return and growth in some of those is 62%. And then there's some that are like 500%. Well, so far, we're up about 60. So if we're right, you know, that fundamentally things are sound, then this is in the pretty early stages. And that would then lead one to think that, you know, if that's correct, then there are people that are just simply adding to positions in these dips and waiting for the next move up.
Yeah, and that seems to be what the market is right now. There's a lot of money that's, I think, looking for another home, looking to rotate out of what people are in. But quite frankly, nothing right now is truly breaking out. Are there any other sectors that you're watching closely, Craig, outside of, say, the gold price or the gold stocks that you think could tell us, give us a little bit of foresight into where markets might be going?
I continue to watch the bond market really, really closely, Corey. I think even just last week, you and I were talking about the significance of not only just nominal rates, you know, whatever the 10-year is yielding, but what it is on an inflation-adjusted basis. And when we're currently still, you know, with the way the job market is and with all the COVID stuff, you know, I don't think this idea of some kind of sharp V-shaped recovery, I just don't buy it. And so I think, though I believe inflation and even stagflation is coming in the months and years ahead, I think gold is still kind of swimming against kind of a deflationary environment so that, you know, even at 75 basis points on the 10-year note, you've got a positive real yield. And so I continue to watch the bond market sharply. You know, it appears to me that rate caps are already kind of in place, or at least the market's anticipating that, because the 10-year note yield has gone just dead flat line sideways between 60 and 75 basis points really since April the 1st, if not a few days earlier. We had a breakout to 95 basis points 2 weeks ago and then sharply fell back into where we are now today at about 70. I would watch the bond market closely. You know, if you really want a short-term clue, you know, if you're holding on some long position and you think there's risk to the downside, if you do get a spike in yields, the nominal yields, you know, if the 10-year note moves back up to 1%, you know, and starts trading with a 1 in front of it again, that would be a sign that we're going to start seeing at least some weakness, if not some considerable weakness in the gold price in the short term. So, long answer to a short question. I think if anyone's going to watch anything else, watch the bond market. I think that's pretty important.
All right, pretty straightforward. Something that I also watch pretty much every day. And the bond market has been, in a way, kind of broken, though, hasn't it? By the Fed and central banks because of how much money they are injecting. It's almost as though we're seeing more muted moves in the bond market because of these central banks and what a heavy hand they hold.
Right, exactly. And that, you know, I think back to when QE to infinity was announced in late March. You know, part of that was this program that the Fed was going to buy corporate bond ETFs, well, you know, which is earth-shattering in its own right, even though the ECB has been doing it now for years. I mean, to think the Fed now is doing that. Well, that had the effect of stabilizing the corporate bond market in the first place because everybody wanted to front-run them, and they started buying corporate bonds, and all of a sudden that got better, and the Fed didn't have anything. And so now they started buying ETFs, and then as they announced back on Monday, they're now buying these individual corporate bonds. I think in a sense you're seeing that in the Treasury market as well, because the Feds is already saying they're buying $80 billion a month is what they stated last week. And I think people are already figuring out that this yield curve control stuff is coming. And so even without the Fed formalizing that policy and stating we will not allow the 10-year note to go above 1% or 75 basis points or whatever it is, I think the Treasury market's already starting to kind of front run that. And that's the only explanation I can come up with for why when you had this massive sell-off 2 weeks ago that took the 10-year from 64 basis points to 96 basis points in a week. I mean, that's a 50% move. And then it just quickly reversed the next week and fell right back down. So I wonder, to your point, I mean, these markets are broken. I mean, anytime you have this level of central bank intervention, you're not really coming up with price discovery, right? So that has to be factored into your opinion when you assess all these things. But nonetheless, if there is, or if it's allowed to have at least a short-term rise in that nominal rate on the 10-year, that will have an impact on gold one way or the, you know, most likely to the downside. So I want people to watch that closely as we go through the weeks ahead.
All right, Craig, great chatting with you. Thanks again for some of your insights on still what is a relatively boring market, but I still think it's boring in a good way because of the levels that gold especially is trading at. Craig, thanks for your time today, bud. Have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
All the best, my friend. You too.